Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. And for those in the LA area who would like to call in, the number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including the folks right here in the beautiful and rainy San Francisco Bay Area, the number is toll-free 877-697-9725. You can also log into our chat room where producer Kina is hanging out, and if you have a question that you would like to have relayed to me, she can make sure that that happens. So today, we're going to be talking about getting to know no. And for a very tiny word with just two letters, no is tremendously powerful. And it also, in my mind, has kind of a bad rap. Most people look at it as, or it's generally defined as, to dissent, deny, or refuse. And it really comes off as very negative. And there is light and shadow in all things, including the word no. No can be not as much a negative as a something that negates. And I think that that's two different things. Negative, when we think of negative, we think of, you know, depressing, down, you know, not a positive feeling, emotion, situation. When we talk about something positive, it's always uplifting, and it's always something that we look at as being something that's desirable. And then when we say, well, it's a negative, then a lot of times we think of, well, you know, it's something that's not desirable, or something that may even be hurtful, or, you know, basically a state that we would not choose to be in or choose to be around. Remember, when we talk about positive and negative in charged particles, it's not that one is good and one is bad. They both have a place. They both have a relationship. They have a job. One cannot be what it is without the other. So in looking at the word no, and I had a very interesting conversation with someone. They are a really very intensely supportive person to the people around them. And as I was talking to him, and he was saying about how his schedule is just chock full of, you know, all these things to take care of, all these other people and all this other stuff. And I asked him whether or not he had a chance to, you know, how much time he had during the week that was just for him, where he wasn't running errands or taking care of people. And, you know, he goes, well, you know, I've got this person in my life. They refuse to be taken care of by anyone else but me. And it's like, okay, and what is the plan B? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, okay, let's say you were abducted by aliens. They took you to another planet where you were worshipped as a deity and you weren't going to come back. What is their plan B for survival? How would they manage? And he didn't really have an answer for that. And he was expressing how he wished he had more time for himself, yet he would not make that time because he felt that he would want to be there for these other people. And I always find that is so interesting, because when we go into that place of saying, you know, well, I just cannot say no to the people who need me. I cannot say no to, you know, if someone comes up to me and, you know, they're having a hard time and, you know, they need me there for them, I'm not going to say no. And when we think about it, by saying yes to everyone else, we say no to ourselves. And that's not, you know, it doesn't have to be a good thing or a bad thing. It just is. But think about it. How often do we say no to ourselves when we're that person that really needs that support, that time, that compassion? And how easy it is to tell ourselves no when we really don't want to. We want to say, you know what, I really need this time for myself, or I need to focus on me, or I need to spend a day entirely dedicated to what makes me happy. Because if we don't do that every once in a while, then all the yeses that we tell everybody else suddenly start going into a very bad place. It goes into that place of, I'm saying yes, but I don't want to say yes. And it creates an environment of, you know, just really hard feelings with that person. And when we have to be there for family members, I have done it to the huge expense of myself, but I knew I was going in with that. That was what I accepted in that particular relationship. Okay, this is what I need to do, and it's not that I can't stop taking care of this person or helping with this person. I choose not to. And I knew that I was paying a heavy toll for myself, and that was the choice that I made. Which, hey, if you've ever been a caregiver, especially if you're a caregiver who has a tendency to, you know, kind of be on their own with it, or the majority of the care falls on them, would you rather be doing something else? Yes. But are you willing to make that commitment to that other person? Because in that moment, they do need you. You know, you have to. Now, that being said, are there ways that that can be worked a little bit more easily? By bringing in somebody who can help, bringing in somebody who can, you know, kind of take the pressure off, to allow you to go out and maybe just sit out in a park or do something that you would like to do or sleep. When we get really wrapped up in the idea that we cannot say no, and always remember that that's a choice, then we need to start looking at, okay, what is it that is my payoff in not saying no? Because, you know, there's always that payoff that we have. We take action, we make choices based on part, on taking care of other people, and the other part is, what am I getting out of it? And when we look at what is the payoff for always saying yes, well, I feel like a good person. Other people tell me I'm a wonderful person, which there's nothing wrong with that. And find balance in it. If you're going in with the idea that, you know, you're going to feel like a wonderful person, you're going to be told you're a wonderful person, you can still do it. Just know that's a part of why you're doing it. We need to be really honest with ourselves in our yeses and our nos. Sometimes we say yes to a whole bunch of stuff just so we don't have to deal with our own. When you're so busy taking care of everybody else, then you don't have to take care of your own stuff. It's like the mechanic always has a car that doesn't run. And I've got mechanics in my family. I know about that. So, what makes it okay to say no? Well, pretty much anything. If it's okay with you. And what makes it okay to say yes? Anything. As long as it's okay with you. It shouldn't be a reflex. Yes or no should not be a reflex. It should be a choice. It should be something that when somebody presents you with something that they would like you to do, just take a moment and think about it. Let's see, do I have the desire to do that? Do I have the time? Is it going to create a hardship on something else? Did I already have something planned? And is that something that I can shift? When we accept responsibility for the yeses and the noes. It's not that I can't say no. It may be in that situation I choose to say yes to this individual, but at some point you've got to say yes to yourself. At some point, even if it's somebody else saying, I need you, which, hey, if somebody needs you, go for it. And if it's every week, I need you. If it's at all hours of the night, I need you. And then when you get with them and it's not, it really wasn't that huge, then we have to be very, very careful, because then it can get into a very tricky spiral of what's known as codependence. It can get into that tricky spiral of that person really not feeling like they can step up themselves. Maybe they're scared, and it's just easier to have somebody who comes in and says, nope, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And that is a wonderful feeling, and it's a wonderful thing to do for somebody. But there's light and shadow in everything. And when we make things really easy for someone, we know how hard something can get, and we want to make it easier for them. When I look back on my life, the things that made me the strongest, the things that helped me move forward the most, were things that were tremendously unpleasant and very, very hard, and sometimes broke my heart. And when I looked at the idea that I actually managed to make it through it, and I was able to find the tools to manage it, somehow I was strong enough. And when you come out of a situation and you realize, oh my gosh, I was stronger than that was. It was overwhelming, but I managed to see my way through. That is a very cool thing. It's wonderful to have help. You know, have your friends be at your back, but they shouldn't be in front of you. You know, you face the storm, you have them behind you, helping you to move forward. Or, you know, when you're in that dark tunnel, knowing that your friends are on the other end, you know, with that light saying, okay, this way, you can do it. Being there for people, I mean, it's a very much a part of what I do each and every day. And when I know that the time has come for me to start saying yes to me, for me to say, you know what, I can look in the mirror and I can see how tired I am. And I can feel my energy really moving down. That's when I know that I have to say no. Or if not no, you know, not this time. Next time, but not this time. And I know that that's when I need to, you know, rejuvenate myself, so that that way I can take care of other people. The more I say yes to me, the more I can say yes to others. The more I say no to me, it's going to mean that sooner or later I'm going to have to say no, because I won't have a choice. I will be too exhausted or too angry or too resentful or all those emotions that come with just being tired and exhausted. When we take those opportunities to look at what it means for us to say no, sometimes it's because of an entire lifetime of having to say yes in order to keep peace. When you have a family situation or a family dynamic where you need to go in and, you know, you can be able to help keep things calm and keep things happy, and, you know, you don't want everything to fall apart or for people to be upset. Yeah, that is a choice. And the question is it the only choice? When does it become the best thing that could happen for everything to just fall apart? When does it become the best thing to do for someone to say, you know what, I can't help you this time, but this other person can step in and can help. Especially if you're also dealing with health issues, if you're also dealing with things that are taking your energy. The patients that I have the hardest time with are healers, because sometimes they forget that they need to turn it off too, that they can't be in that space all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, because it will burn them out. They won't be able to do what it is they want to do more than anything else, because they will just reach that place of, you know, hitting that energetic wall. And when you do that, it's a long time coming back up from that. You have to really nurture yourself, which generally healers are not the best at. I should know, I am one. And yes, there are times when I definitely push myself farther than I really should. And I know it's my choice. And I know that at some point, you know, the piper is going to need to be paid. So I manage that in the best way I can, and I start working in the no. I'm sorry, I cannot make it to that event, and I do know somebody who can help you out instead. I'm sorry, I'm going to need to reschedule because something has come up, and I need to go and deal with that. So as we find the freedom that comes with being able to say, even if it's not no, but just not now, or not this time, then we can start being able to fill that space with us. We can start being able to give to ourselves with the exact same generosity that we give to others. And I mean, you know, when you're a healer, when you're someone who cares about people and you do want that absolute best for everyone, sometimes the best is what the universe gave to them to deal with. We can empathize with them. We can be sympathetic. And sometimes you need to say, okay, well, all right, best yourself up. Come on, let's go. You know, you got this thing that you need to do. I'm going to be right behind you. That you're going to need to take this on and be able to hold that and be that, because that's what you chose. So as long as we remember that in our helping, in our support, that there is such a thing as too much support. Because if we prevent people from going through the hard stuff, one, they never know that they can survive it. And two, it creates a sort of a paradigm where they never quite get to the lesson, or they never get to the good part of the lesson. Often it is believed, and you know, that's something that I believe, is that the universe hands me whatever it is that I need in order to grow. What are the lessons that I'm going to learn from this, and what is the gift at the end? Because I know there is a gift at the end. Through the worst times in my life, I can look back and I could see where there was a gift at the end of it, no matter what. And when you have an opportunity to be able to work through the entire process, you don't cut it off short. I mean, often we talk about the stages of grief. Well, if someone is grieving, we can't stop them at one of the stages. It's like, nope, don't be angry. Anger is one of the stages. We have to make it through it in order to get out the other side. If we try to cut off the process, then something is missed. It's sort of like if you took a class in, let's say you wanted to learn to speak French, and you took the class, and part of the way through it was just really overwhelming and really hard, and someone came to you and said, okay, I'm going to hand you the answers to all the exams. Oh, okay, well, that's mighty nice. And you study the answers to the exams, and you're able to answer every test, and you graduate, and everything's fine. but you still don't know how to speak French. You still don't have what it was that you were meant to learn. And in the end, what did it serve? Because what was your original goal? To learn to speak French. So when you go into that place of, you know, helping somebody through something hard, remember that there is a part of that that they are going to gain from. You help them out, but you can't carry it entirely. Because remember, each and every one of you is carrying a whole bunch on your own. And especially if you're somebody who does a lot of things for a lot of people, you're carrying a whole lot of stuff that doesn't belong to you. And it's neither good or bad, but it's a choice. And if you spend so much time carrying so much for so many people, you don't have time to carry your own stuff. You don't have time to work through your lesson so that you can be able to figure out what it is that is the gift behind all of it for you. It is great to see somebody make it through something that was kind of scary for them, but yet they did. I mean, think of, you know, for those of you who have kids or if you've ever seen a child learn to ride a bike and, you know, you're moving along and you're holding on to it and the training wheels are off and the terror that is in that child and they're pumping their feet and they're running those pedals and then you let go. You can't keep holding it. We got to let them go. And yeah, they may go 5 feet and fall over and be very upset. I mean, you know, now you got the elbow pads and got the helmet and all that stuff. You prepare them by making sure they're wearing the helmet and the gear. You don't let them run off without a helmet. It's like, okay, you're going to do this, but this is how you can prepare for it. And that will help. But ultimately, you know, they ride, they fall down, they get upset. And it's like, okay, all right, but you know, you did really good. You almost had it. You almost had it. You know, let's try it again. Then they get back up on the bike, and you hold it, and you run with them, and then you let it go again. And then you watch them as they just head down the street. And then when they turn around, and they're riding back, and you see the look on their face, and it's priceless. It is absolutely priceless. Because, one, they know they did it, and they know that no one could ever take that away from them. And two, that you were there to bear witness to it. See, because sometimes that's the main thing we're supposed to do, is bear witness, to be there next to them, help them out, you know, share the load for as long as we need to. But remember, you got to let go of the bike. And then you got to trust that deep down they do know how to manage this. They can do this. And sometimes people will achieve things not because they believe they can, but that they look at someone they trust who says, you can do this. And I know that because I've experienced it many, many times. I have been at that place of thinking, I cannot do this. And it means the world to me to have somebody who I trust look at me and say, you can do this. It's like, okay, I trust them and they think I can do this, so let's give it a shot. When we look at saying no, we're really saying yes. When we tell somebody, it's like, you know what, I'm not feeling well, and I need to take care of me so I can help you again. So here's a way that we can manage this. Everybody needs a plan B. We all do. We can have somebody who helps us out, but the universe can be a very interesting place. And nobody is guaranteed anything. Things happen. And then maybe we find that that support person isn't there. Not because they didn't want to be, but because they couldn't. So what do we do then? How do we figure it out? When you're in the situation is not the time to figure it out. If you're a care provider, figure out a plan B. If you're a person who someone is helping out, figure out your plan B. Because we never know what's going to happen. And sometimes being told no is the same as being told I love you, I trust you, and I believe in you. And sometimes when we have to say no, we're saying I love you, I trust you, and I believe in you. So just work with the idea that no is not a negative. And sometimes when we say yes to ourselves, that is the most important thing. Because if we don't do that every once in a while, what we're going to do is we're going to find that we can't say yes to anyone. Often I'll use the analogy of, you know, the old variety shows where somebody would take a plate and put it on top of a stick and they start it spinning. And then they'll put up another stick and put a plate on it and start it spinning. And then they go, you know, all these plates and all these sticks and they're all spinning and they've got to run up and down and run up and down and, you know, keep those plates spinning, keep them spinning. You know, one's starting to wobble, you got to go over there. Once you get so many plates spinning on sticks, there are going to be plates that are going to fall. You can't keep up with all of them. And it's a lot easier to be able to say no, not now, not this time, and not add another plate on a stick. Because the problem is, once it reaches that place where you know in your heart you can't keep all of them spinning, then you've got to decide which ones do you let fall. I prefer not to go there, and I'm sure a lot of you would prefer not to go there either. So keep the plates on the sticks to a number that you know you can work with comfortably. And it never hurts to have somebody else come in and say, hey, you're tired, let me spin the plates for a while. Or you do that group, I'll do this group. There's a reason that we have communities, because it is important to know that we can count on each other, that we can back up each other. Yeah, I don't want anybody to take on my burdens for me, but I will sure welcome them standing with me to help me through it. And while I know there are things that I cannot fix, for those who I care about, for those who turn to me for guidance and for, you know, for care, there's a lot that I can't fix. But I can be there with them. And when they go through that hard part, I may not be able to stop it, or if I feel that I shouldn't stop it, because I know there's something very cool waiting for them. You just have to let go of the bike sometimes. And they don't want you to, but it may be deep down they do, because then they get to understand. So, say no when it's right for you. Say yes when it's right for you. But make sure you're saying yes to yourself, at least most of the time. So, thank you for spending this time with me. I'm glad you said yes to that, and I'm glad I said yes to being here. So, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Sometimes you need to let go of the bike, and sometimes it's good to hold on to it. You figure out when those right times are, because you're the only one who can. So we will be back next Thursday at the same time, and we will be talking about other topics. If you would like to contact me, you can reach me at Healing House Radio at the-healing-house.com. And you can shoot out an email if you have a question. I can answer that. Or you can reach me at my office number, which is 408-372-2840. So until next week, have a wonderful time. and blessings. Bye-bye.